Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, to talk to the Nats interim general manager Mike DiBartolo, who just put the finishing touches on his first deadline as an acting general manager after many years working under Mike Rizzo, and he's kind enough to hop on with us here to discuss what the Nats did and didn't do. Mike, thank you for the time. It's Grant and Danny. How are you?
Absolutely. Doing well, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man.
How different was yesterday for you? Give us an idea just in the past of what your role was and how involved you were with Mike and what that was like yesterday. Were you the only one working the phones, or was there someone in that DiBartolo role from the past that was kind of handing you the phone when something was almost done? Like, how did it actually work?
Yeah, you know, it was in some ways a lot the same, because I've been heavily involved in the past and been in that room for 10 plus years. But obviously when you're making the decisions, it's a little bit of a different story. But I was working the phones, most of the time myself, and I was doing that in the past heavily as well. So, not a huge change in some of the day to day, like minute by minute. But when you're making the final call and obviously you're setting the priorities and making those final decisions, it was a little bit different and exciting, and excited about the guys we got back and the strong talent, the way we were able to build the farm system a little bit further and hopefully make things better for the future.
What was the theme for you guys yesterday? Just in terms of that, was it the priority to widen the depth in the farm system, to try to grab a couple guys that you think maybe marquee? Just sort of give me a feel for what you went into yesterday and maybe the past week or so as you've made several moves. What was kind of the main theme there, Mike?
Yeah, the big picture goal was just to bolster, get as much talent, future talent, as we could in whatever way we could. So it wasn't sort of, hey, target one guy, it was, just upside and building depth in the farm system, however we could do it, and just get the best prospects we could. So whether it was pitching, with guys like Eric Swan and Sean Paul Lignan from the Dodgers and Josh Randall and RJ Sales from the Tigers in the Finnegan trade, those are arms we're really excited about. But we also got some position players, Ronnie Cruz, an infielder, young infielder in the Soroka trade from the Cubs, and Christian Franklin, and a really versatile outfielder from the Cubs. Jake Eater, a major league arm, pitching the majors in the Chafin Garcia trade. So, tried to just get value and talent wherever we could, and just build out the depth a little bit further throughout the system.
Mike, another question as to how the deadline actually works, and I guess every situation could be different, but do you highlight players you really like, either based on your databases analytically? You said you used more of kind of a numbers data approach this time around, or with pro scouts that see someone and call you. I'll use Lignan as an example, because he's such a talented prospect. Like, is that someone where you guys go, all right, we want this guy, let's see if we can figure out a way to get him from the Dodgers? Or do the Dodgers call you about call, and then when you get into their system, you find some guys you like? Like, what happens first?
Yeah, it's much more, it's the latter. We've got some guys, certainly the guys that were on expiring contracts, the Soroka, Finnegan, the Rosario, and then areas where, we have a little bit more of organizational depth, and a little bit more of a logjam, like in the situation of Alex Call in the outfield, where we feel like we have several talented outfielders. Teams will call us on these guys, and that's usually the way it works, is teams call and say, hey, we're interested in Michael Soroka, we're looking for another starter, like what are you guys thinking? And we'll dig into the it's obviously a lot of work, and great job by our whole front office staff and our scouts on the ground, and we'll dig into those organizations and kind of try to find that sort of sweet spot where, okay, this guy's a good pitcher. He's, in terms of what we're giving up, but it's on an expiring contract. Let's find, some interesting prospects that we think can really help the system, and, that have performed well, that have some attributes we like,
Do you have like, I'd imagine you guys don't have portfolios on like every player in the minor leagues at AA. So I'm just like,
we have information on every professional player, on in every organization. And so we'll go through and, we have, performance information, we have scouting information, we have, kind of value information on kind of how we sort of prep out these guys. And we'll talk through those names. Okay. Like, in this range, Ronnie Cruz, we really like, we have a good scouting report on him. He's performed well in in rookie ball. He's young. He's athletic. He hits the ball really hard. He has good knowledge of the strike zone. He's athletic. He has a good arm. He can play, like, you know, these are all conversations, you know, in more depth, obviously, and we'll kind of talk through all these guys and try to come to a consensus of who we think fits best and who we want to ask for, you know, from the organization. And then you go back and forth with that team and try to see if you can line up on some guys. So these are guys that we highlighted and feel really good about. And, you know, ultimately, you know, to get this major league talent that clubs were seeking, you know, we were able to get these guys in return.
Mike DiBartolo with us here on Grant and Danny. So, Mike, I you know, looking at the transactions, all makes a lot of sense to me. All the hotel room guys, you know, the guys that probably aren't going to buy here that were renting, you know what I mean? Just here short term, the Andrew Chapmans, Luis Garcias of the world, totally makes a lot of sense to me. I would have lost a lot of money if I'd gone into yesterday saying that Josh Bell wouldn't have been traded. I was really, really surprised by that. I love Josh Bell. He's a great dude. I think he should be either run for office or be a college professor or something like that. He can do whatever he wants.
Sure.
I was pretty surprised by that. I'd love for you to walk us through that.
Yeah, look, you know, for the guys that were on expiring deals and we were very open-minded to opportunities for them to go to a winner and chase a ring, and that's something we were very open-minded to, and ultimately nothing came together for those guys.
Would you have taken like even a lesser deal? You maybe don't want to get into specifics, but should we assume that to mean there just wasn't much of a market?
You know, I don't want, you know, I would just say we were very open-minded to moving those guys.
All right. The one guy we haven't asked about and probably could have and should have started the conversation with is Mike DiBartolo's with us, is Mackenzie Gore. There was so much leading up to the deadline in terms of smoke on Gore. Did you actually have conversations on Gore with teams, or was that just rumors? And did any of them materialize in any kind of serious discussions?
Yeah, I mean, when you have a player as talented as Mackenzie, you know, an all-star who's controllable for years, you know, teams call, and you know, it's our job to listen and evaluate every opportunity that's brought before us. So certainly, you know, when teams call, and they did, you know, we listen and we discuss it. You know, we discuss it, you know, throughout the organization as to kind of what makes sense for us, and ultimately, you know, we value Mackenzie very highly. He's a great pitcher. And, you know, we just weren't able to line up on something there and think he's a really important part of the club. And it's really not, you know, when you look at what happened in the market, it wasn't much of an outlier relative to some other teams that had some really talented pitchers out there that were also controllable that didn't move on some other teams. And so, you know, we value Mackenzie highly and think really highly of him, and just nothing came together on that.
Yeah, right at the deadline yesterday when we found out that Mackenzie Gore hadn't been traded, I even think on the air, I kind of wondered, could you guys not get the deal you wanted, or maybe ownership wanted to hang on to him? And as last night went on and I looked around, it didn't seem like a lot of the starting pitchers got moved. So I guess I would just get a thought from you on the starting pitching market and maybe why it didn't materialize. But also, is that fair to say that it wasn't that ownership said we're keeping Mackenzie Gore, it was just that you didn't get a deal that you thought was good enough to trade an all-star number one type starter?
Yeah, I can't speak for other teams. I mean, again, for us, you know, we had conversations organizationally. You know, I keep ownership involved and aware of all the conversations I'm having, and we had really productive conversations there, and they had good questions, and they want to win. You know, yeah, again, so ultimately nothing was brought to us that, you know, we had to be extraordinarily motivated to move a guy like Mackenzie Gore, who's an all-star and just an incredibly talented pitcher. And there was nothing that compelled us to do that ultimately.
Mike, also, we haven't had a chance to speak with you since the draft. Would love kind of your thoughts about this kind of whirlwind month or so of player acquisition, you know, feeding your system there for the Nationals. Yeah. Just kind of give us your 30,000-foot view there.
Yeah, I think we've made a lot of progress and accomplished a lot in 3 to 4 weeks. I appreciate the question. I mean, when you look at how much talent we've added to the organization in the last, you know, 3+ weeks, you know, Eli Willett's the number one pick in the draft, a switch hitting shortstop with a great approach at the plate, who's a talented hitter, who's a elite defender, and you can go through the list. Ethan Petry with a, you know, big power bat, big. You know, some really talented high school arms in Miguel Simi Jr. and Coy James, and Landon Harmon, Coy James being an infielder. You know, those five guys, it's a huge amount of talent to add to the organization. And then you add in, the guys we got at the deadline, several talented pitchers, some position players. So, you know, just in the last 3 weeks, I think we've added a lot of talent that's really going to benefit the Nationals over the long term. And I feel really good about that.
Yeah. I mean, oftentimes we shouldn't, you know, go full, you know, Chris Farley, where we bring someone on and just tell them how awesome everything was that they did. But the draft, I was so happy with. It seemed like you guys had a plan. And look, a lot of these guys that you took earlier are teenagers. It's lottery tickets in high school. There's just no way to know with those first five rounds worth of players that you took if they're going to become the players you want them to be or not. But you went in with a plan, and to get Harmon and Simi and James after you go Willits and Petry, you guys had to be elated. Was that kind of all telegraphed before it started, or how much of that is kind of figuring things out as you go?
No, it's a great question, and I appreciate the kind words too. I mean, it went exactly as how we hoped. Quite honestly, it went exactly as we had hoped. It wasn't telegraphed per se. You know, we didn't, Willits was the number one guy on our board, and, to be able to get him and sign him at a number that allowed us to get several other talents that we had really circled in the draft as guys we really wanted. You don't know that's, possible until the draft unfolds. And it really did unfold exactly as we would have hoped to get, so much upside, and not just, the number one guy on our board, but then several other guys, second, third, fourth rounds that, the talent, especially in some of those later rounds, and we, paid those guys above slot bonuses, but the talent was way above where they were drafted, in my opinion. And so we were just really ecstatic as well as to how that all played out.
Interim GM of the Nats, Mike DeBartolo. I know you got to jump. We'll let you out on this, Mike. You've had about a month here, and in a short order with the draft and with free, and now the trade deadline, a lot was thrown on your plate as a first-time acting general manager. If this was an audition and you move five guys, four of which were rentals, or six guys, five rentals and one that was controllable for 10 new players to the system, and then the draft we just talked about, I know it's not about you, but you got to feel pretty good about what you've shown as a GM here over the last month as a candidate for the job.
Oh, well, thanks. I mean, it's a credit to the staff around and a whole team effort, both the scouts and the front office staff, and everybody's been working incredibly hard, and it's been very exciting and rewarding to see how motivated everybody is and how hard everybody's working and the great job everybody else is doing. So, I had enough on my plate. As you said, it's a whirlwind between jumping right in with the draft and deadline. So haven't even thought about, the implications of any of that other than just excited about the talent we brought in for the Nats. So, but I really appreciate the kind words.
Mike, thank you for joining us, man. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
Mike DeBartolo, the interim general manager with the Nationals in the wake of yesterday's trade deadline, discussing some of the moves the Nats made. They trade six players out. Five were players that were leaving or weren't under contract beyond this year. They get 10 players they add to the minor league system, including three in their top 15 via MLB pipeline. They did okay, considering they really didn't trade much.
Right, they didn't give up a lot.
Their biggest asset was Alex Cole.
Uh-huh.
And you flood the system with more talent. I still am willing to rave about the draft. I just thought the execution of the plan was phenomenal. We'll see. They're going to go out and shop for executives and managers, but the Bartolo's acquitted himself well as data guy, which is movement a lot of people have wanted to see for a long time.
I'll tell you this real quick. Everybody I've ever spoken to where his name has come up has had glowing things to say about him.
And, he's just a worker,
in all walks,
man.
Yeah. Regardless of what job you had with the Nationals or were dealing with him, they've been very impressed with that guy.
He's very well liked.
Yeah.
He is in anonymity in the shadows, just worked really hard for a long time. It's hard generally not to like people who get very little credit and just do a lot of work. And that's kind of been his role as Rizzo's right-hand man for an extended period of time.